Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year Terry Bowden. Coach, we enter the SEC week number 9. The conference is up, still for debate, and we turn our attention to the updated odds entering the weekend. It's still Roll Tide. Alabama, the team to beat in the SEC, right there is the top choice, +130, followed by Texas A&M, Georgia, Texas, and Ole Miss. Thoughts about what transpired this weekend, past weekend as a whole, and the Alabama Crimson Tide as the top team in the conference?
Well, Alabama is still trending upward. I thought Tennessee would hang closer than that. Alabama showed how good they are playing right now. In every sense, they've got a quarterback that's playing like a Heisman Trophy candidate, maybe a Heisman Trophy winner. They've got weapons all over. And they have been able to outscore people. I think a lot of it's based on the fact they've got a quarterback that doesn't make mistakes, doesn't have turnovers often. I think he got his first turnover, second turnover, doesn't turn the ball over, and does a great job in leading that football team. So easily, Alabama right now is trending upward, and everybody else is pretty much the same. Ole Miss lost, so I think they dropped. But you've got the top four teams. There's not much difference. And Texas A&M, I think, is the team that's kind of the dark horse right now, as they are undefeated, and they've got a good enough offense and defense if they can carry it on forward now. So these teams will all end up playing each other again as it settles into who's got the best chance to win the SEC.
I think when you look at the odds right now, obviously Ty Simpson, Texas A&M with Marcel Reed, and even Gunnar Stockton for Georgia are above average, obviously, statistically, and just when we think about great quarterback play within the conference this year. And I think when we look at Texas potentially and even Ole Miss, even though Trinidad Chambliss stepped up and put up numbers when the game was on the line, couldn't pull it out in Athens, do you feel like that's potentially a factor from separating these teams? Because at the start of the year, when we talk about the Heisman odds and we talk about the best quarterbacks, not just in all of college football, but particularly in the SEC, it was known as Arch Manning and potentially everybody else. Right. And now we see in week number 9 that Ty Simpson and Marcel Reed are basically the two quarterbacks that you really have to keep an eye out on, and your guy, Diego Pavia, that got the victory as well.
Yeah, I don't see, Diego Pavia is a very interesting quarterback because the way he plays and the dynamic way, you almost fall in love with him. The way he's confident, he's striking the pose, upsetting other teams. And remember, the Heisman's a popularity contest, so a lot of that stuff you'll see with him. But as far as the SEC, which one of these guys can lead their team to the SEC championship? That's going to be the quarterback that takes their team, the one that can get them to a championship. And I think the one thing Texas, I think Arch Manning is the only one right now at Alabama, TAMU, or Georgia that really, if you look at it, he's probably not playing at the level they hoped he would play, and he may not be at that point at any time.
Would that affect your, if we're looking at conference odds, right? Would that affect how you view Texas overall? Because I don't think anybody thought you get the rivalry win over Oklahoma. There is no reason to limp into Lexington and have that type of performance and only put up basically 13, 16 points in an overtime win against a dead and buried team in Kentucky, right? I mean, even Ole Miss went in there earlier in the year and put up 30. For Texas to struggle yet again on the road and struggle offensively, I think that is the biggest question mark when you view big picture Texas Longhorn football.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that it's fair for Arch Manning to go through that, but we overestimated their team, that we overestimated where he was in his development as a quarterback, and he's not there yet. He's not as good as the three or four other top team quarterbacks in the conference, and it's part of the reason that they're not as good as they should be offensively. He needs to continue to progress. They need to play as good as they can, but I don't think – Arch Manning is right now ready to lead them to a conference championship. It's down the road for him.
We'll see exactly how it plays out as it relates to the conference odds and Heisman Trophy odds the rest of the way. But the news for the weekend came in Gainesville. Florida did get the win over Mississippi State. They eked out a 2-point victory, 23-21. But after the victory, Coach, we had talked about it leading up to the weekend that potentially Billy Napier could be fired from Florida. He was, in fact, given his pink slip. They fired him at the end of the day, coming into Sunday afternoon, and now Florida will be looking for their new head coach. Thoughts about potentially where Florida could go, and thoughts about Billy Napier, big picture.
Well, I'm so glad he was able to win that football game. It's clear they had their mind made up before that game. And quite often, you want to go ahead and make that decision in case he wins a few more and makes it tougher on you when you've already made your mind up you're going to make that move, and I think they had. Billy will stay. He's young. He's been successful. He'll end up on his feet, and he's got a lot of money to play with until he does. And so I know it's tough on him because he's one of the good guys. But now it's a question of who can they hire. I've heard his name. Lane Kiffin is the name everybody's mentioning, and that'll be one of those things that you'll have to see. But I will say this. They won't go after a G6 head coach because that would be the same thing they just did. That knocks a lot of great coaches out of the way. I think they've got to go after somebody else's coach that's very, very successful. Lane Kiffin has ties to Florida. To me, he's the most Spurrier-like coach in the country. Him and Cignetti are the most Spurrier-like personalities, Spurrier-like head coaches. And Cignetti's locked up. And Ole Miss could very well lock Lane Kiffin up. But he will always be a fighting underdog. At Ole Miss, you will always be a little bit of an underdog because of who you're playing. At Florida, you don't ever have to be an underdog because of their resources.
And they have the resources, they have the money, and they're willing to pay. Do you feel like, and I know because Lane Kiffin coaching in the conference and the success that he's brought Ole Miss, and you mentioned the offensive philosophy with a young quarterback, especially if DJ Lagway stays in school, you want to have a coach right. That could cultivate that talent to the next level. Just thoughts. Do you think they would ever go the route of potentially Brent Key at Georgia Tech? I know it's a different conference. It's not viewed as dominant as the SEC, but Brent Key did go toe-to-toe with his arch rival, yeah. Georgia. Taking them to 8 overtimes on the road. If he potentially wins out in the ACC, would they even entertain Brent Key or another coach like that?
Well, you know, that's a different type of offense. But you know what? That's kind of the type of offense that Urban Meyer ran when he was there with a quarterback, a running quarterback, throwing quarterback. Yeah, if he continued to win, and you got to remember, just because they may identify somebody as their guy, that guy may say no. So when it gets down to it, they want to make sure you believe that they got their first guy. And their first guy wants to believe he's their first choice. But if they're going after the right guys, there's always a 50-50 chance he's not going to go there or somebody else is going to get him. But Keyes is good enough to coach a lot of places. I think right now we need to continue to see because he doesn't have the body of work over the years. He's still building that right now. And I think Lane Kiffin has proved himself in a couple of places.
Absolutely, and we'll see how it plays out for Florida the rest of the way. We're going to dive into recaps from week number 8. A couple of those losses potentially could affect programs like LSU and maybe even Auburn down the road. Mm-hmm. What happens with both of those programs? Do you feel like when you see some of these other schools like Florida, like Penn State, pull the trigger early, you think there's more pressure on some of these programs to maybe make a move earlier rather than later?
Yeah, I think it absolutely. I think when your fans or your major boosters see other schools willing to make that decision, and Penn State really is the one that set the standard, a guy that has won that much, but they pay him to win championships. He was not winning championships. They're not going to pay him that much money to come in second. I think you're going to have that kind of feeling at LSU, that kind of feeling at Auburn and other places. Although the season's still young, I think these coaches have a chance to still save their season.
When Coach and I return, we'll talk about the recaps from week number 8, Alabama-Tennessee, and the battle in Athens, Ole Miss and Georgia. Coming right back.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden taking a look back at last weekend's games. Coach, the SEC had some of the greatest games on the Week 8 slate. It started late night in Tuscaloosa. We'll talk about that matchup. Alabama opened up as a huge favorite. 7.5, 8.5 points. We saw at the start of the kick, it got as high as 10.5 points. They didn't disappoint. A beatdown of Tennessee. Tennessee hadn't won in Tuscaloosa since 2003. They tied the game up at 7, but the rest of the way was Ty Simpson and the Alabama defense taking over. They win this ball game in dominating fashion, 37-20. Ty Simpson stepped up yet again, and Kalen DeBoer has that train rolling in Alabama.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Ty Simpson played another clean game. He just doesn't throw interceptions. He plays clean. They don't ask him to do too much. He makes sure he gets the ball to the right people and runs and manages their offense. But this is a game that an interception, what was it? An interception for 99 yards right before the half changed that football game. I was at Auburn the week before when a fumble on the one-inch line changed the entire game around, and this one changed around too. I think it would have been a 16-14 game at half. It ends up being 23-7 at half, Alabama's favor. And then Alabama just kept it on from there. So I don't know. It might have been a closer ball game. That's kind of where I thought it would be. But Alabama is doing what they've got to do to win football games. And like I said, they're still on that upper trend. Tennessee really didn't do as well as I thought they'd do. But again, that 99-yard interception for 7 points right before the half just deflated that football team. And so now you've got Alabama. Alabama's still on a roll, undefeated in the conference. And Tennessee now has got a loss in the conference, now has to get themselves back on the winning trend.
Absolutely. I think when you look at that game play out last week, the biggest thing for me is Josh Heupel relied on Joey Aguilar, I believe, a little bit too much in the first half. And I understand trying to loosen up the front seven, throwing the football. But this was an offense in Tennessee that was averaging basically 220 rushing yards per game entering that matchup. Right. And we talked about how weak, at least we thought, the Alabama front seven was, giving up about 157 rushing yards per game. They were exposed by dominant rushing attacks throughout the regular season, started week number one against Florida State. Why he waited till the second half to utilize the rushing attack is beyond me, because they did get chunk yardage in the second half to put them back into that matchup. The problem was they were trailing by double digits. That's not the way to play it. You should have started the game that way and then utilized the play action pass. He did it the opposite, and that's why they never could close the gap against Alabama.
Well, and again, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that. If they don't throw a 99-yard interception right before the half, it's a 1 or 2 point game at half. And no, they could have run more and maybe should have run more. But at the end of the day, although Tennessee was 100 plus yards less total offense. They're the number one total offense team in the country. They were held to about 150 yards less. They still had more rushing yards than Alabama, had more passing yards than Alabama, had more total yards than Alabama. They just had it inverted. They had to go catch up after a bad turnover. And so, again, I think Alabama was the better football team. I had them winning the game. I think if Tennessee could have run the ball more, because like you said, that keeps Alabama's offense off the field. It keeps them off the field, so their scoring goes down while your scoring goes about the same, and now you've got a better ball game. So, again, we'll see how that goes. But overall, it was Alabama had a defensive touchdown and was a little better football team.
The game of the day, just from the back and forth scoring, took place at 3:30 in Athens. You and I both like Georgia in the matchup. But if I would have told you that both teams would combine for 78 total points, I don't think you would have believed it. But Georgia pulls out an 8-point victory. They get the winning cover against Trinidad Chambliss and Ole Miss. Another dominant offensive effort by Gunnar Stockton in that Bulldogs offense.
What a game that was. That was probably the most enjoyable game I've seen for a while. And again, it was playing. I mean, Trinidad Chambliss played like a pro for about 58 minutes or about 57 minutes. Then he had 2-3 and outs when you had to have it. Kirby Smart showed why he's winning championships there. Great halftime adjustments. Great play calling at the end of the game. Team was powerful in the running game. By the fourth quarter, they were physically whipping Ole Miss. And they couldn't stop Ole Miss for three quarters, but they stopped them dead solid for the fourth quarter, whereas Georgia kept piling on and physically whipping them. And then Georgia won it the way Georgia wins football games. Kirby Smart, I think, still the best coach in the country because he goes out there and understands what it means to make adjustments, play great for four quarters, and wear people down with a strong physical football team.
I agree, and they rushed for 221 yards on the ground. We talked about how dominant the Georgia rushing attack has been this year. They're averaging 190 rushing yards per game. The weakness of Ole Miss entering that ball game last Saturday was the front seven. They were allowing 156 rushing yards to opposing offenses. Another dominant effort, and credit Kirby Smart. This Georgia front seven, even though they gave up four rushing touchdowns, held Ole Miss to only 88 rushing yards on the ground and only 3.5 yards per carry, Coach.
Yeah, really a great job of Georgia controlling the front against Ole Miss. And again, I want to take my hat off to that young quarterback, Chambliss, at Ole Miss, the way he played. But the pressure got to him at the end. And I want to add this. Georgia's tight end caught three touchdown passes. When they throw their tight end and run the football and play defense, they're hard to beat. They've got a tight end in their offense again, too.
They got two tight ends, Oscar Delp and Lucky Lawson. That I tell you, in red zone opportunities, they go 6'5", 6'6", respectively. They could create mismatch problems. I will say this. We think about Georgia defensively, and rightfully so, but I've seen two games now where their offense has turned it on.
Yeah.
Tennessee, and now against Ole Miss. I tell you what, from an offensive perspective, one of the best offenses in the nation when you can run it and throw it the way they can.
That's right, and you have to be able to do that. I don't care how good you play. There are going to be games that you have to outscore people, and there's a lot of ways to win football, but being good only one side of the ball is not one of the ways to win championships. I think that's I think Georgia against Tennessee and against Ole Miss, they've showed what they can do when they have to and score points.
We'll come back talking LSU Vanderbilt and the loss in Auburn. Missouri Auburn coming up next. Continuing the conversation right here on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden recapping week number 8. Coach, the week started at 12 o'clock in Nashville. All eyes were on the Vanderbilt Commodores, favorite against the LSU Tigers for the first time dating back to 1948. LSU had won 10 straight entering that matchup, the last four by an average margin of victory of 23.2 points per game. But Diego Pavia and the Commodores do it yet again. They knock off LSU, they win it, and cover as a 2.5-point home favorite. Brian Kelly's on the hot seat. This team has no offensive identity, and LSU now is searching for answers.
Yeah, LSU, that the fans are just, they're fit to be tied. And again, they've got a lot of money tied up into Brian Kelly. He's got a lot of season left. He's 5-2, so you almost have to continue to wait to see what's happened. But I can feel the atmosphere in Louisiana because I live in Louisiana, and they are fit to be tied because Vandy was favored. And I'm going to tell you, watching that game, it didn't look like an upset. They couldn't get Vandy's offense. Now, and LSU's defense was only giving up 11 points a game. But Vandy never punted till the last two series of the fourth quarter. They never punted the football. Diego Pavia was incredible. In fact, he even struck the Heisman pose during the game. Yeah. But that Vandy was just too good of a football team, and I think a lot of credit goes to that quarterback and the way he gets first downs. But if LSU cannot, for the second year in a row, they don't run the ball well enough, and then eventually your defense is not going to hold up, like, because their defense has been good all year, but it didn't hold up quite enough against Vanderbilt on Saturday.
I agree, and I think I'll give a majority of the loss on Brian Kelly. I give some of it to Joe Sloan, the offensive coordinator, because we knew that LSU could not run the football consistently. When you look at Vanderbilt's defense, that was one of the strengths of the front seven, holding opposing offenses to 3.2 yards per carry, 90 rushing yards per game. Why you're trying to force the square peg into the round hole in a must-win type of game on the road, I understand you want to run the football. Sometimes you got to throw to run, though. They didn't go attack them vertically with the speed. They went sideline to sideline, which goes right into the strength. They were put into predictable third downs, and that's why Garrett Nussmeier got battered yet again. Sometimes you have to think outside of the box. They had a speed advantage and never took advantage of that against that secondary.
Yeah, and the way they were playing in the red zone, they needed those explosive plays, because one of the big stats that just sticks out at you is LSU had to kick 4 field goals. They made 3 of those field goals, so that means they scored in the red zone. But when you don't get a touchdown in the red zone, to many people, that's a negative, not a positive. And because you can't run, it gets magnified the closer you get to the goal line. And when LSU has to kick 4 field goals instead of scoring touchdowns, that goes back. If you're going to make sure you get good in the running game, like, you got to have explosive plays to go with it to open them up. And then you got to be good in the red zone of finishing your drives. LSU could not finish their drives against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, well, now they're 2.5-point dogs, Coach, to a team in Texas A&M that's undefeated entering this matchup. I believe it's the first time dating back maybe 5 to 10 seasons or maybe even longer that LSU is a home dog to anybody outside Alabama. The books are expecting the Tigers to lose this weekend under the lights.
Well, you know what? That means they're probably a 7-point dog or a daggum 5-point if it were played on in a neutral site or played up at A&M, but because that is a great home field advantage. But that's more of a credit to me right now, the way Texas A&M is playing, the way they've come through offensively or defensively in doing what they've got to do to be successful. And you know, about this time of the year, 7-0, now you're playing with confidence. Now you're playing to win. Your kids are finding ways to win instead of feeling like they're ways to lose. That's one of the biggest problems at LSU right now. They've lost some close ball games. To get them to respond against a team that feels like they're going to win is going to be tough. Still going to be a tough team to beat in LSU in Baton Rouge. But I'm going to tell you, Texas A&M is having one of those special years, being 7-0 at this time.
We'll see how it plays out, and we'll break down that game a little bit later in the week. Auburn lost yet again in overtime, 23-17, Coach. Hugh Freeze has now lost 4 conference games in a row. He wants a vote of confidence from the AD. They got to win a game desperately, and it could come this weekend against Arkansas.
Well, I'll tell you, and I spoke to a lot of people in Auburn this week. Arkansas, you and I know, are a heck of a good football team, and they can score points. And Auburn's big problem this year is, like LSU, they can't score points. They can't go out there and compete by scoring points. So Auburn's going to have a great game again. Hugh's got a lot more games left. I don't think they want to get rid of Hugh, but he's got to get that thing turned around. Arkansas is going to be a tough team to get it against.
Coach and I will talk about that game later in the week. We'll see you later.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.